Morning. Today's daf in Bamtzias Ein Tes. We are starting today in Ein Ches Amud Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for the sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learned Zech Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are searching for a Mishnah to identify Rav Meir Shita. Remember the Mishnah yesterday in Ein Ches Amud Aleph talked about renting a donkey. And in the first case in the Mishnah, you were instructed to go Baharva Olicha Bibika. You were told to go via mountain and you went via valley. Or Bibika Olicha Bahar. Or you were told to go via valley and you went via mountain. So even if the distance is exactly the same, the Mishnah says, because you deviated, so therefore you're going to be chai for any for anything that happens, any mishaps that happens to the animal. So that's the first case of the Mishnah. But then the second case of the Mishnah started making a lot of differentiations. The second case of the Mishnah, Socher Sachamar La'olicha Baharva La'olicha Bebika. So it's almost identical to the first case of the Mishnah. And then it goes on to say, Im Hechlika Pater, well, if it slipped, you're going to be exempt. V'im Huchma Chayev, but if it died from overheating, so then you're going to be Chayev. And the Mishnah goes on to point out that we'll have to look at your path, and we're going to have to look at how the animal died, and we'll see if you're going to be chayv or you're going to be pater. So the obvious question that we dealt with yesterday is, in the first case of the Mishnah didn't blink. Once you deviate from the instructions of the owner of the animal, so then you're going to be liable. In the second case of the Mishnah, we start looking at cause of death, and maybe you'll be chayv, maybe you'll be pater, and obviously a discrepancy exists. So we had yesterday in the Gemara four different ways to approach this issue, and the fourth way of the Gemara was by Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and that is that the author of our first case in the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So in other words, really there's a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in terms of what happens when you deviate from instructions. And Rabbi Meir is lishitasa. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that once you are given a particular set of instructions and you make any kind of deviation whatsoever, so you're going to be chayev. So, and you, let me go a little bit clearer and a little bit better. Anytime you deviate from the intent of the Baal Bais, you're a gazlan. You're considered a thief, and as Rashi points out over here, when it comes to a thief is going to be chayv in every form of liability, even onus. Okay. And the only thing we're left to do, which is where we got up to yesterday, is just identify which Rav Meir and Shas do we see this very clearly, that your Mavir al-Das Baal Bais, that once there's any deviation from the instructions of the owner, so at that point in time you consider a gazlan. Where do we find that? So yesterday we tried to show the Mishnah Baba Kama that you gave your wool to a dyer, and you gave him instructions of what color to dye, and he dyed it the wrong color. So Rav Meir over there says you're a gazlan. But the Gemara points out that that may be different, because over there was an actual shinoi maisa, and we just want to show that by virtue of the fact that you deviated by itself, that's going to be sufficient to be considered to call you a gazlan. Leaving Shinoi Maisa out of the discussion. So that Mishnah, although it does certainly make a point, but it doesn't prove our point. So we need to find another Mishnah, and that's what we're up to right now. So we are starting today on the top of Ein Ches Amud Beis. We are now El Harav Meir. It's about 7-8 lines on the top of the Amud. So the Gemara says, so it must come from the following, and that is Mikbas Purim. Must be coming from Purim collection. We know that on Purim there's a mitzvah of Matan Slev Yonim. You have to give to the poor on Purim. It's one of the mitzvahs that are specific to Purim. There's a general mitzvah of giving tzedakah, but on Purim there's a special mitzvah of giving tzedakah. So Ditanya Mikbas Purim LaPurim. So the Braisa teaches us that if you have a collection of Purim, so you're collecting money for Purim, so the proceeds of that collection must go towards Purim. What does that mean, towards Purim? Rashi writes Mikbas Purim LaPurim Ma'o Shigovma Hagabai Mibnei Ha'ir L'Chalak La'aniyam L'Su'udas Purim, meaning that it must be applied towards Purim itself, the day of Purim itself, meaning there's a mitzvah of Su'udah, and they need to eat on Purim. So you must give the allocation of the Purim collection on the day of Purim itself for the purposes of Seudah. It certainly sounds like from the Rashi that the purpose of Matan Slev Yonim is for the purpose of Seudah. We know there's another interesting discussion / debate in terms of Mishloach Manos. There's another mitzvah on Purim, and that is that you have to give prepared food to other people on Purim. Some are of the opinion that that also is to be applied towards Seudah's Purim. So it's interesting. It could come out that the two givings that you do on Purim, Matan Slev Yonim and Mishloach Manos, are really for the purpose of Seudah. Okay, what I said is not absolute, but it could certainly be presented that way. So Ditanya, mikbas purim la purim, mikbas ha'ir la oso ha'ir. Also, when you're collecting in a particular city, it should be applied to the poor people of that particular city. But then the Brisa says, but you know what? You don't have to be too precise. Even though the Brisa just mentioned how precise you have to be. It has to be for purim, for the people of the city, but you don't have to be too medactic. Now Rashi over here says, lamar dayam bepachos, v'amosi yipol kishol tzedakah. Meaning that you don't have to give everything out. You give out what is needed, and if there's anything left over, obviously that'll go towards tzedakah. Back to the Gemara, Avalochin is Agam, Veshochtim, Veochlin, Osam. You buy animals, you shech them, you feed them, Vamosi, you pull the Kishol tzedakah. And whatever's left over, obviously, will be applied towards a later tzedakah opportunity. The Gabayim will simply allocate it on a different day. Okay, so Adkan, that is not the end of the Brisa, but that is the end of the Tanakam. Rabbi Lazar, Omer, Mikvas, Purim, Lepurim. Rabbi Lazar in the same Brisa says that the collection of Purim is to be applied for Purim. And those proceeds cannot be used for any other purpose, meaning it must be used for the Suda, only for the Suda. Even if the poor person needs shoes, the Purim collection money cannot be applied towards shoes. Unless the council, the city council, decides otherwise, that money has to be applied for Purim and specifically for food, no other poor need. Div Rabbi Yaakov Sharma Mishum Rabbi Meir. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov, who said in the name of Rabbi Meir. And Rashbag Mekel and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel at the end of the Brisa is Mekel. Okay, so what do we learn from all this? That when it comes to Purim collection, according to Rabbi Meir, as presented by Rabbi Yaakov, and that is that Purim collection has to be used for Purim and for nothing else, not even for other poor needs. So you see over here that there is an assumption that when the giver on Purim gives money, it has to go towards the poor, specifically towards the Uda, and nothing else. And this seems to indicate that when you have the owner, now here owner meaning owner of the money, who's giving to the poor, but when you have the owner who has a specific instruction, so then you have to follow, and any kind of deviation whatsoever is considered a form of gzela. The Gemara says, I'm not sure if this proof is such a good proof. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, I don't know if you can make a general conclusion from this. Look, the person giving on Purim, so clearly his intent is to give for Purim. So I don't know if this would now speak to a general principle. It could be that this is just very specific to this particular case. So the Gemara says, so fine. So we're looking for a general position of Rabbi Meir that when you're mavir al das balam, that when you violate the intent of the owner, so you consider gazlan elaha Rabbi Meir detanya. Rabbi Shimon Lazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara now makes a third attempt. And the Gemara quotes in the name, the Brisa quotes in the name of Rameir. No, sin dinar la'ani likach lo chalok. Let's say you give money, a dinar, to a poor person in order so that he can buy a coat. Lo yikach bo talis, he can't buy a talis. Now, I don't understand fashion, circa 5th century. So obviously they're different garments. That part to me is clear. How they're different, I don't know. But anyway, but they're different garments. So, and the point is as follows. When you give money to pay for a specific garment for the poor, and it's earmarked for that purpose, you can't buy another type of garment. And so when the person's giving money for a very specific purpose, and when I say specific, I mean even the article of clothing is specific, so the gabbai who collected on behalf of the poor person can't use it for any other purpose. Now, seems to be pretty clear now that this would be a good indication that according to Rameir, anytime you have the owner of something earmarking it for a particular use, you must use it for that use and for no other use. Okay, it seems to be a very good proof. The Gemara says, "V'damashani hasam ta'asalimichshadei da'amri inshe amar palnaya zavnina le'levusha le'palnaya aniye v'lo zavnle." So the Gemara says, "I don't know if it's such a good proof. Could be over here is just simply an issue of chshad, an issue of suspicion, meaning that when the owner of the money turns to the gabbai and says, you know, that's a little bit strange. I gave the money by this, and meanwhile he doesn't have that, and so people are going to say." I pledged the money, I even gave the money, and meanwhile something happened with the money. And so maybe over here it's just an issue of suspicion, even though nothing was done wrong, it was just a question of a different article of clothing. Inami zvina leglima velo zavanlay, right? Or or I was told to buy him a glima again. There's different articles of clothing, and I didn't buy it for him. And again, the issue is suspicion. The Gemara says him kain. Gemara says that's not really the pshat in the brisa. because lisnei mibnei echshad. Well, the Brisa actually gave a reason, and if the reason is suspicion, the Brisa should have said mibnei echshad. That's not what the Brisa said. My mibnei shemavri al datu shabal abayis. In fact, the Brisa is very specific why it's not good, because you violated the intent of the owner of the money. Shema mina deshanihu. So the Gemara says it's because it's Rav Meir l'shita. So this is the mission that certainly shows us that according to Rav Meir, once you are mavi al das balim, so you consider a gazlan. So now we go back to our Mishnah and we found our source that would then explain that the Tanakam of our Mishnah, the first case of our Mishnah, is going like Rabbi Meir, and that's why when you were told to go over the mountain and you went to the valley, even though distance is the same and the animal would have died anyway, etc., 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 you violated his intent, therefore you're going to be liable. Okay. Two dots. So you rent a donkey and the donkey is blind. Now, blind over here does not mean blind like cannot see at all. Blind means that there was some sort of impairment of vision on the part of the donkey. And so donkey basically is not working as good as it is. Obviously, it's good to think about these things in terms of a modern application. Again, I'm not saying the halacha, we're learning the Gemara, but in other words, you rent a car, and you know, it takes a little bit to get the car going, but it goes. Okay, and it's not as good as you thought it was, but it can make it. So the Mishnah says, okay, that the rental's still good. You're still bound by the rental agreement, and it can go. Just not as good as you thought it was going to go, and so you're still going to be on the hook. So my vivrika, so I said the pshat in the Mishnah is he got blind. So the Gemara says is that interpretation is subject to interpretation. So my vivrika, so hacha targimen oraisa. So here in Bavel, when we learn the Mishnah, we say it means nuhu raisa. Nuhu raisa, like the word sagi nahor. It means light, but it's a euphemism. It means absence of light. It means that the donkey can't see. Like I said, the pshat is that the donkey is blind. Again, not blind, blind, not no visual sensation. Just simply means impaired. Rava Amar Avzakas. And Rava says, no, a different pshat, and that is that the animal has a little bit of a limp. Right? Rashi describes it as some sort of infestation, some sort of worm infestation in the legs of the animal. The animal basically cannot walk as good as you thought it was going to be able to walk. So, in both of these cases, vision, slight vision impairment, slight limp, but the point is that the animal could still make it, and therefore, the owner of the animal is fine giving this animal as the rent, as part of the rental agreement. Hahuda Amar Lahu. Gemara just quickly takes us aside to a very quick, short halacha having to do with this word avzakas. Avzakas is a worm infestation. In the case of the donkey, it causes the donkey a slight limp. Amud amalu avzakas ben milsa demalka. Okay, there was a person who was in charge of watching the clothing of the king, and it then became subject to worm infestation. Okay, he didn't put out enough mothballs. So amalu ben my batlek. Then my batli kesef or batli dahav. So was the worm infestation, did it afflict clothing that was either silver or gold? Rashi points out over here, silver and gold are really just colors. It actually means the silver is a reference to flax. It's got a nice white look towards it. And the gold is actually a reference to wool. Rashi says it was dyed red. So, okay, red is not really gold. But anyway, it's really Rashi says that we're really talking about flax and wool. So igadam ribat lekasev amar vekalua. So if he says that it was silver, meaning if it was flax, so on the part of the guard who was guarding the king's clothing, so he's going to get killed. Now the Gemara is not saying this is a halacha, but in other words, but because this is such a gross act of negligence, considering the fact that, and again, I'm taking the Gemara at face value, I don't know from these things, but considering the fact that flax is not normally subject to worm infestation, so therefore he's going to be killed. But igadami badle dahav, but if it's a wool that got infested with the worms, amar vishafkua. So if that's what he says, so then they're going to leave him alone. So wool is always subject to worm infestation. Okay. The only reason why the Gemara quoted that is because we got to use the word once again of avzakas. Back to our Mishnah. Oshanasa sangari omalar ishlofanecha. If, let's say, you rent out an animal and the king commandeered the animal for a temporary period of time. So you say to the renter, look, I'm sorry, but it's your tough luck. It's your mazel. So I'm a Rav Loshana Laban Gari Chozeres. So Rav makes a point, which seems to be pretty intuitive, meaning the idea that the owner can just simply say to the renter, look, I'm sorry, but that's your mazel. So Rav says that's only if the king commandeered it for a short amount of time. But the king's going to bring it back. So now the owner can say to the renter, look, this is part of life. This is part of living here. You know, the king takes things, but you're going to get it back. You're just going to be, you're going to have to wait a little bit. So under those circumstances, Rav says that the rental is still going to be a good rental. But says Rav intuitively, if let's say the king commandeers it, then he says to you, it's not coming back. So now the renter turns to the owner and says, okay, I rented an animal. That animal, this animal's not going to work. King Cook took it. It's not coming back. He told us it's not coming back. So now you got to give me another animal. Fine. Shmuel Amar Ben Agariya Chazos Ben Angariya Shena Chazeres. And Shmuel makes a statement which at first is going to be hard to understand. Shmuel says, well, if the king commandeered it, it doesn't matter whether it is going to come back or it's not going to come back. And under either circumstance, the owner says to the renter, look, I'm sorry, that's your animal. Now, at face value, it's really difficult to understand. If the animal's not coming back, the renter has what seemingly is a very legitimate complaint against the owner. More than a complaint. I'm going to pay you money for the rental. Give me an animal. You gave me an animal, the king took it, and it's not coming back. Like, that's obviously unacceptable. So, we got to read on in the Gemara. Im b'derech halicha nitla, omer lo harei shelo chalof anecha, v'im la b'derech halicha sa nitla, chayv la mitlo chamor. Now, if the king took it, but he's going in your general direction. Now, the way Rashi presents it is as follows. Generally speaking, when the king commandeers animals, so the king is, even if it's not coming back, quote unquote, what the king's going to do is he's basically going to take it from one station to another station, from one town to another town. And then when he gets to the next town, king's going to leave this donkey and then commandeer another donkey. Rashi says that's generally speaking how these things worked. So, even if the king's not going to return it back to the starting point A, and the king's going to move it from A to B, but as long as A to B is the general direction you were going to go anyway, so Shmuel says, so here's what the renter is expected to do. He's expected to follow the donkey from point A to point B, knowing that the king is going to drop it off at point B, pick up the animal, and then continue on his way. Now, again, even as I know, from Shmuel's standpoint, it's still hard to imagine that from the renter's standpoint, he's certainly not happy. But I'm not really, I mean, I don't care here in terms of happy. But in terms of a legitimate complaint, it certainly sounds like he has a legitimate complaint. I didn't get to use the donkey from point A to point B, but again, from the owner's standpoint, meaning it's not, I gave you the donkey, the king commandeered it, and anyway he was going in your general direction, and you could pick up the animal in the next town, you're going there anyway. Okay, so Meitzvah, the Gemara challenges now with the following Braisa, and that is the Braisa reads as follows. Hasochas achamor v'hivrika. You rent an animal and it gets partially visually impaired. Oh, shenishta tata. Or the animal gets a little bit crazy. So in other words, again, like the steering wheel kind of works, but, you know, it doesn't exactly turn the way you want it to turn. So amar laharei cheshel chalof anecha. So once again, I say to the person, okay, look, that's your mazel. You know, it'll get you there. Not as conveniently as you liked, but it'll get you there. Meso shenasa sangarya, chav la milo chamor. But if the animal dies, or if it was commandeered by the king, so then you have to give a replacement animal. So now, Bisham al Rav Lokashi. Now, if you're Rav, no problem with this brisa whatsoever. Because, kan bangari chozeres, kan bangari shena chozeres. Because we know that according to Rav, it depends. If the king commandeers it, but it's going to come back, so then the renter still has to abide by the rental agreement. It's just delayed. If the animal's not coming back, so then the owner has to provide a new animal. So if you're Rav, no problem whatsoever. But Elul Shmuel Kasha. Now, but according to Shmuel, remember, under both circumstances, the rental agreement still stands, even if the animal's not coming back. So now, according to Shmuel, what are you going to do with this price of Echit? Elul Shmuel Nami Lo Kasha. Kansha B'derech Halicha Sanitla. Kansha Lo B'derech Halicha Sanitla. Well, remember, according to Shmuel, there's still another distinction to be made, and that is, which way is the king taking the animal? If the king's taking the animal in your direction, so you're stuck. You got to follow the animal. If the king's not going in your direction, so now you go back to the owner and say, hey, I need a donkey. I rented a donkey. provide for me another donkey. So, but the Gemara says, "I'm a diktani safer." But the Gemara says, "I'll tell you why. We can't say that in defense of Shmuel because there's more to the brisa, and that is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer in bederach halichasani la omer la harisha chalafanecha." So the opinion of Shimon ben Elazar in the second part of the Braisa is it depends which way the king is taking the donkey. Which means what? The Tana Kama knows of such a distinction and obviously doesn't hold of such a distinction. The Tana Kama does not subscribe to such a distinction. So we can't make that distinction within the Tana Kama because it's only Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar who makes such a distinction, and so therefore we can't defend Shmuel, at least within the Shita of the Tana Kama. But the Gemara says, okay, we're not at the end of the world or at the end of the rope with Shmuel. So Shmuel will tell you, okay, Tana Kama doesn't agree with me, but I have the sheet of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that obviously I'll subscribe to. Okay, Ibai Sam of the Gemara says, or if you would like, you could read the entire Braisa as one sentence, not Deos Chalukos, but one sentence, and that is that the entire Braisa is authored by Rishon ben Elazar. And this is how you'll now read the Braisa in its entirety. You rent a donkey, it becomes partially visually impaired, or a little crazy. So, sorry, tough, but that's your mazel. And if the animal were to die, or if the king were to commandeer it, so then the owner has to replace it with another donkey. Now, when is that true? But if the king commandeered it and is going in your direction, and all you have to do is just follow the donkey and pick it up in the next town, so then the owner says to you, you know, it's unfortunate, but start walking. So, divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, shehaya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, im bederech chalicha hilucha nitla, omer lo harisha chalafanecha, v'im lo chayv lamid lo chamor. So good, so now we read the entire braisa as a run-on sentence, all aliba de Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and now, according to Shmuel, we have not Tana Kama versus Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, an entire braisa, although it's still the sheet of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, but the entire braisa that reads like him. Okay. Now the Gemara says, now it's like we're like seeing more of the puzzle as we're going along in the Gemara. You know, there's a first part to the Braisa, which the Gemara says, let's introduce ourselves to that. So the Braisa starts off by saying that when you rent a donkey and it becomes blind or crazy, so meanwhile, we know that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, if you rent out a donkey to ride the animal, not to load your goods on the animal, but you yourself want to ride the animal, and the animal becomes partially blind, or the animal becomes a little bit crazy, you go to the owner and say, that's unacceptable. I'm riding the animal. I don't want an animal that's partially blind when I'm on the animal. I don't want an animal that's slightly crazy when I'm on the animal. I'm riding the animal. This is not just for loading. So, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, you now have a legitimate right to say, you're going to give me another animal. So, Amar Rava bar Ravuna lirkov alav, which, by the way, makes my car analogy terrible. Because, obviously, when you're renting a car, you're riding in the car. So, in other words, so that simply would be unacceptable. So, Amar Rava bar Ravuna lirkov alav shani. So, the Gemara makes a distinction which pretty intuitive, and that is, well, depends whether you're using the animal for loading or you're using the animal for riding. If you're using the animal for loading, so the animal's partially blind, the job will get done. Again, with a little bit of inconvenience, but the job's going to get done. If you're riding on the animal, well, you're expecting that the animal is going to be steadfast. And so, therefore, that's simply unacceptable that the animal has either a partial vision problem or slightly crazy.
Shmuel's notion in terms of if the king takes it, walk after the king, if you're using it for loading, is ridiculous.
Yeah, I understand. Right. In other words, it really is an inconvenience. I agree. I totally agree. It's a terrible inconvenience. You're going to have to figure out a way to get your stuff from this town to the next town, right? I'm with you. Haresh Chalaf Anecha is always going to mean, you're going to be inconvenienced. Right, but and I understand your argument, meaning it's more than just a little bit of an inconvenience. Okay. Amra Papa Kli Zuchuchitz Kalar Chaval Adam, and then the Gemara ends the section of the Gemara with one point, and that is that even if the animal is used for loading, but fragile items like glass. Glass is like you riding the animal, meaning the animal is partially visually impaired, or the animal is a little crazy, so then you can't put the glass on the animal, the glass is not going to make it through the trip, and you can now say to the owner, unacceptable, you're going to give me another donkey, we're replacing it with a donkey that works really good, otherwise the glass is just simply not going to make it. Okay. Where do we stand right now? The talked about getting an animal that is not 100%. So in the Mishnah, if it's less than 100%, Harisha Cholofanecha. If it dies, he's got to replace it with another animal. And then Machlokus, Rav and Shmuel, in terms of when the animal is being commandeered by the king, at what point do we say Harisha Cholofanecha versus we say you got to replace him with another animal? And then the Brisa that we just went through, seemingly supportive of Rav, but the Gemara defended Shmuel as well. Amar Rava Baravun Amar Rava Sochas Chamer Lo Kavala Umesala Bechatsi Aderech. Let's say you rent an animal to get from point A to point B. Halfway through, the animal dies. So, no sein lo scharo shochatzi haderech vein lo alav ela taramas. So, even though you didn't make it there, but you did get halfway, so you got there halfway, so you got to pay half rent for the animal because you got there halfway. And the Gemara is going to ask some obvious questions. Hey chidami, idish shchech la gorei taramas my vedete. I'm sorry. And the only thing that you have is you can file a complaint, okay, to the Better Business Bureau, but that's it. In other words, you can't, but you have to pay half rent. Okay, now on this, hey chidami, idish shchech la gorei. Now the Gemara says, now you got to the midway point and the animal dies. So if there are other animals that you can rent from that point going forward, so the Gemara says, okay. So again, it's slightly inconvenient, but you know what? Everything's fine. You didn't lose money because you paid half the rent to get from here to the midway point. You'll pay presumably half rent to get from the midway point to your destination. And there were other animals to rent. So the truth of the matter is that you don't really have a legitimate right to file a complaint. Taromas maya vidate. And either lo shchich la gurei, and if at the midway point there is no other animal that you could rent, so agra by lemesavle. So the Gemara says, so why should you have to pay any rent whatsoever? Mm-hmm. Meaning not even half. I rent an animal to get from point A to point B, and I didn't make it. And when the animal died, I got stuck in the middle of the road. So I'm not paying anything. So, and the Gemara says, so there, it's a monetary issue. You shouldn't have to pay anything. So the Gemara says, l'olam d'lo shchich la gorei. So the Gemara says, okay, the Brice is talking about a case where there was no other animals to rent, so you did get stuck. However, mishum d'amalei yilo bais lemesi ad hachalav agra bais lemesev. And meanwhile, the owner can say to you, you're still going to pay me half rent because, hey, if you were to rent an animal to get from the starting point to the midway point, you would have offered me half the money, so you're going to have to pay me half the money.
You wouldn't have said that because if you're stuck in another road.
Oh, so it's from our standpoint right now, it is hard to understand the owner's taina. The owner's taina is, well, had you want to get here, you would have rented it anyway, half the money. That seems to be a difficult argument to hear, and how does the Gemara give it? So Tosfos is bothered by this very question. Tema. Top Tosfos on 9 Tesam and Aleph. Dahashta mia delav ad hacha by lamesa. Lama yitain loschar. You didn't want to get here. You want to get to your destination point. You're halfway there. Especially, and it died.
Especially when you can get another one there.
Correct. So it's really difficult to understand how the Gemara is going to favor the owner's taina when meanwhile you didn't get to your destination point. You can rent another animal. Like, what is going on over here? So Tosfos gives two possible terutzim to understand our Gemara. Number one says Tosfos. V'yesh l'madad dekamar la'olam d'lo shchich la'aguri hainu l'fi os and dami shesocher mizeh ava b'tfei porti yimatzei l'skor. Right, I changed the girsa a little bit based on the side. But anyway, so Tosfos number one says that even though the Gemara says you can't rent another animal, the Gemara doesn't mean unequivocally you can't rent another animal, meaning you're going to have to pay a little bit more. So, and again, there's still a chiddush in the Gemara, meaning despite the fact that now it's going to cost you a little bit more, but you did make it this way, this far, using the other person's animal, so you're going to pay him half the rent. Okay, and you will be able to rent another animal, albeit with a little bit more money. Okay, there's still a chiddush there. Skip a little bit in Tosfos Inami. We are going to go to Tosfos now, second answer. Or Tosfos suggests maybe as follows. You got to the midway point, there's no other animal to rent, you're pretty much stuck. But remember, you wanted to bring your merchandise from point A to point B. So Tosfos suggests that maybe here at the midway point, so what happened is that you got
the market.
There's still a market where you got stuck. So there's still a selling opportunity. And so you could turn a profit. And so again, it's also a chiddush, meaning that you want to go from A to B. So Tosfos in the second answer is saying, yeah, but you know what? There's a goal involved. And as long as you can achieve your goal, so then you're good to go. That's a chiddush.
Maybe you're
going
to go back home.
I don't know. But remember, the donkey wasn't for traveling. The donkey was for loading.
Cargo.
It was cargo. V'yesh orchem har b'shein mevim scharim ela adkan, lekachi ten chatzi scharam. Okay. So, again, Tosfos is certainly bothered by the fact that if you got to the midway point and you're stuck, why should you be paying anything? So again, Tosfos gives two suggestions to understand that. Hey, Chidami, we're back in the Gemara. We're halfway down. Anayin Testament Aleph, the Gemara says, what is going on over here? Let's look at the rental contract. If the owner said, I'm renting you an animal, not this animal, but an animal. So now, we got to the midway point, the animal died, so now you turn to the owner and you say, look, you were going to rent me an animal. Right? This one died. So good. So now, you're still going to have to provide me an animal to get from here to my final destination. And if in the rental contract it said, I'm renting you this animal, so now, so now the animal died. So what do you have? You have the carcass of an animal that still has some value. Sell the carcass of the animal and then buy a new animal with its carcass.
Who does your carcass belong to?
Now, generally, that's an excellent question. We'll get to that in just a moment. And generally speaking, obviously, when your used jalopy dies and you sell it for parts, you're not going to generally be able to get another working vehicle. And I assume the same thing is going to be true by donkeys as well. So this is going to be a suggestion which is probably impractical. You're not going to be able to sell the carcass to get another working animal. That's probably not going to happen. Which brings us to the next point. So the Gemara says, fine. Whatever the carcass value is right now, it's not going to be enough to simply buy a new working animal. So the Gemara says, fine.
Maybe it doesn't have to buy it, it's rented.
Hmm?
They have to buy it.
Okay, so it brings us now to the next point. So now remember, in the rental contract, the contract was usage of this animal. Halfway through, the animal dies. Okay. Now we're at the midway point with a dead animal. So why doesn't the renter now be entitled to sell the carcass of this animal, use the proceeds to now rent another animal to get from here until the end? Now, Ben's question is, who does the animal belong to? It belongs to the owner. Meaning, but
it belongs to the owner. How could the renter sell it then?
Right. And so this, exactly. So this brings us now to the question of, can you do that? Can you take the owner, meaning you have you the renter, have rights, meaning, and you were renting this particular animal. And so now that the animal's dead, so the owner of the animal still has to provide you service to get from here to there. Can I use the owner's principle in order to get from this point to the end? And this is going to be a machlokas. So the Gemara says, Rav Latame. And Rav is consistent, which is Dama Rav, Lo Machlin and Karna. Rav says, you cannot use owner's principle, even though he himself is committed contractually to get you from A to B. And even though the animal is dead, and you could make use, financial use of the animal to get you to the end, but you, the renter, do not have the right to use his principal to get you there. Okay, so the Itmar in the Gemara now quotes this machlokas. Now, Rav says, if you could sell the carcass of the animal to buy another animal, so therefore you're not using the principle, because basically all you're doing is just turning it over from one animal to another. Now again, financially unlikely, but if you can do that, fine. But liskor al yiskor. But if you can't sell the carcass to buy another working animal, and the only thing you could do with the proceeds is just simply rent another animal, so Rav says you cannot do that. As far as the owner is concerned, again, the owner will have to figure it out in terms of what to do with the dead animal. But you can't use principle of the owner, even though he is contractually obligated to get you from point A to point B. Ushmul amar afli skor yiskor. And Shmuel, interestingly, disagrees. And Shmuel says no. That if he's contractually, the owner is contractually obligated to give you, provide you, transportation from A to B, and you made it only halfway across, and the animal dies, and you could sell the animal, and the proceeds of the sale is only going to get you rent to get from this point to the end, you could use it. So Shmuel, you could use it. So by my kamiflagi, and the Gemara now is going to give the underpinning of the machlokas, Rav Savar, lo machlin and karna, Shmuel, Savar, machlin and karna. Which, quite frankly, I don't know what the Gemara just did over here. We kind of knew that was machlokas, but okay, the Gemara just spelled it out for us. It's a question of whether or not I can make usage of the principle. Okay, so meisve. The Gemara challenge is now based on the following braisa. Okay, this part's a little tricky. We remember back in the fifth parak of Bava Metzia, we talked about making pledges against a loan. And if, let's say, I lend somebody money, and I'm a little bit concerned that he's not going to pay me back. So what he can do is that he can give me a property where I'm going to now, over the course of the loan, basically sit on the property, make use of the property. Now, of course, if I, you know, take the fruit of the property, that is a ribbis consideration. And we talked in the fifth parak about how to mitigate the ribbis issues. But anyway, we're talking about pledge. We talked about pledge properties. And if you remember the terminology, we talked about mashkanta de sura, meaning it's a Syrian pledge, meaning in the, not Syrian, but sura, meaning in the town of sura, this was typically done by the lenders, where they would sit on the property of the borrower. Now, meisve. Within that, we're discussing the following scenario. Yavesh ha'ilan o niksas. Let's say on the property now that is pledged to the lender, a tree either dried up or it was cut down. So now shneim asurim bo. Neither the borrower nor the lender can make use of that tree. Why not? Rashi writes, shneim asurim bo, levakeh eitzim v'lisrof, to basically cut up the wood and to use it as fuel. The isarif leilova, because if the borrower were to do that, so kaya karna demalva. Remember, this property and the tree attached to the property was considered the security against the loan. So the borrower can't do it, and the isarif leilova kaya karna delova. And also the malva can't do it. The lender can't do it, because then the borrower does not have the security to provide security for the loan. So Kate said yaser. So what do you do? Meaning it's still an asset, but neither the borrower nor the lender can make use of such an asset. So what do you do? So yilakech b'karkav ochel peros. So what you're going to do is that you're going to sell it. You're going to buy property with it, and so now they'd say it's going to be principal that's going to stay, and then when fruit grows on it, so the lender can now make use of the fruit. Although, quite frankly, the lender is only going to make use of the fruit 3 years from 4 years from now. So okay, but anyway. Now the Gemara says, now let's all consider. Okay, this land belonged to the borrower, and he gave this land to the lender as a pledge. You know what's going to happen eventually anyway to the land? The land that is going to go back to its original owner. So anyway, the land is going to be taken away. So the Gemara says, so isn't that a consideration? So the Gemara gives an interesting ukimta, and that is that the land was sold for 60 years. What? How could that be? So the Amar Chis Amar Rav Kitina Minan Lamocher Sadeh L'Shishim Shana Sheinu Chozeres B'Yovel. And interestingly enough, you can do that. You can sell a land for 60 years. Now, as we all know, right, all of us have a question mark right over our heads. In other words, that doesn't work that way. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, when Yovel applies, so in the 50th year, the land goes back to its original owner. How can you sell a property for 60 years? How does that work? So the Gemara is going to quote a drasha to teach us that such an agreement can be made. Shenemar, the Torah says, V'aretz lotzim hakelet tzimitzus, and the Torah says that you cannot sell a land indefinitely. Misha ein sham yovel nitzmeses. Yesh sham yovel, einu nitzmeses. Yatzes azush, alfa pisha ein sham yovel, einu nitzmeses. It's almost, Rashi says, it's almost like there's time to crow. Meaning, the Torah's hakpada is that you're not allowed to sell a land indefinitely. So that means that had it not been for yovel, the sale would have been an indefinite sale. But once you put terms on a sale, even though the terms exceed yovel, that sale is a valid sale. Because the point the Torah is driving at is that it has to be a limited sale. It has to be a lease. Can't be a sale. So as long as you're leasing the land, you're good. Even though the lease exceeds yovel. Okay? But it's still a lease. So the Gemara says, so lechimatushis and shnin, kajar lamaya v'kakala karna. Gemara says, okay, but still, after 60 years, the land is going to go back, and so therefore, eventually, the principal is going to be taken away. So why not let the lender take it away anyway? So the Gemara says, elach, b'may skinim b'zman shena yovel naweg. So the Gemara says, okay, well, we know that yovel itself sometimes applies in Eretz Yisrael, sometimes does not apply. And the Gemara in Erechin says that when you don't have the majority of the Jewish people in representation from every one of the tribes living in Israel, so then Yovel doesn't apply. So it could very well be that this Brisa is talking about a case where the Yovel doesn't apply. Hachinami Mesabra, the Gemara says, and I'll tell you the truth, it is a fair argument. Because the Gemara says, let's assume that Yovel is Noeg, and let's assume that you can dip into the principle, so Nitzachelet. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we just cut it up into wood? And why don't we burn it? The Gemara says, I don't know, that's not such a kasha. The Gemara says, you know, the borrower could pay back the loan before Yovel comes around, giving the borrower himself whatever years are left to make use of the land. Or it could be that the borrower just simply gets a windfall of money prior to the Yovel, and again, the same basic point, and the Lova then will be able to collect the land back before the loan is due, and so it could very well be that the Lova is going to make use of the land, so that is why we don't necessarily have to conclude that Yovel or the term of the lease is going to take the land away from the Lova. The Lova may enjoy some years left of the land. Okay. Where do we stand right now throughout this entire discussion? An interesting debate between Rav and Shmuel, when you are on the renter side of the renter's agreement and the animal dies, can you dip into the carcass of the animal? Can you take away principal funds in order so that the owner will be able to honor his rental agreement? Rav says you cannot. Shmuel says you can. Tana Rabbanan. Hasokher Sosrina V'tavala B'chatzi HaDerech. Okay, you rent a boat and halfway there, and the boat sinks. Rabbi Nasan Omer, Im Nasan Lo Yitol, V'im Lo Nasan Lo Yitain. So Rabbi Nasan has a ruling which is really hard to understand. And that is, well, if you prepay the rent, which we'll discuss later on, that's generally not how it works. Generally, you pay the rent at the end, not the beginning. But if you prepay the rent, so then you don't get your money back. And if you don't prepay your rent and you are only going to pay at the end, well, you don't have to pay because you didn't get to where you wanted to go, and the boat and all your goods are now at the bottom of the ocean. Okay. Heichi dami. It's an obvious question. What is going on over here? Ilema b'tzvina zuva yainstam. So the Gemara says, now, let's look at the rental contract. Okay. Now the owner says, be Svina Zoo. In other words, the owner is turning to the renter and saying, I'm going to rent you this boat. So the owner now is pointing to not any ship, but specifically this ship, the Einstein. And the renter says, you know, I need to ship a load of wine, but he didn't say this particular load of wine. So im nasan amai lo yito. If the renter prepaid, so then why shouldn't he get his money back? Neimale havli sfinasa da'ana maisina chamra. You see, he should say to him, give me a boat so that I could bring my wine. So, in other words, the renter now has a very strong argument, because the renter said, "Look, the boat went down," and in other words, assigning blame for the boat going down, you can't assign any blame. Meaning,
that's honest. No, that should be.
Yeah, right. Correct. No, agreed. We're just discussing the actual rent itself. Do you have to pay for the rent? So, to assign blame, that part you can't assign blame. But what you can do is say the following. Look, I rented for a purpose. Now, from the renter's standpoint, he's saying, I needed to ship loads of wine. But I didn't make specific, I didn't say this wine. I simply said loads of wine. You know, I have other wines. So right now, from the renter's standpoint, he says, I rented for a specific purpose. So if you want to honor your agreement, you're going to provide me another boat, because I have more wine than I want to ship. So Ella Bisfina Stam behind that. So the Gemara says, well, let's go in the other direction. Let's say the owner said, I'm going to rent you a boat. And the renter said, for this wine. So the Gemara says, Nim lo nasan amai lo yite. So the Gemara says, now from the owner's standpoint, he says to the renter, look, the boat went down. Again, let's not assign blame, but you wanted this wine to be shipped. So I'll tell you what. If you get this wine, so then I'll ship it. Now, where's the wine right now? It's underwater. So, Neimalei havli ahu chamra va'ayna maisina sfinasa. So, get me that wine and I'll ship it. No problem at all. So, Amara Papa lo mishkachala ela bisfina zuvayayin zeh. So, Rav Papa says, we're talking about a case where the owner said this boat, the renter said this wine, they both now have a claim, some legitimacy to their claim. So under that limited circumstance, now Rav Nachman's halacha would apply, which is that if you prepay, so then the owner gets to keep the rental money. If you are not prepaying, so then the renter doesn't have to pay. So Amar Apropo lo mishkacha ela b'sfina zu v'yayin zeh, ava b'sfina stam v'yayin stam chokin. Otherwise the money is to be divided. Now, just as a general point to consider, let me make even a more general point. When you rent, when is the money due? The money is due at the end. The money's not due in the beginning. So if you prepay, so really that should have that. We're going to call the owner the muchzak, where under the circumstances, a limited circumstance, where it was this boat and this wine. But just because you prepaid doesn't make the owner the mukhzak of the money. You don't owe the money until the end. So really, effectively, he's holding your money, but it's not his. So what? It's a pikadon loan. So why should he be able? Why should he be able to keep it, calling himself the mukhzak? You didn't owe him the money yet. Tosos on the top of the Amud. V'im Tomar, Tosos asks, second line. D'mikomakomim, nasan kol eschir, samalo yitol socher, schar dechatzi aderech, shalo halach, v'chi b'shvil, shemaskir muchzak yaviach, just because the maskir, the owner, just because he's holding the money, he should profit v'od, d'eschir seinu mishtalemes alel besof. When you rent something, you only owe the money at the end. And meanwhile, you didn't make it halfway there. I mean, the truth of the matter is, right now your goods are on the bottom. Unlike the case of the donkey where we started off this morning, where at least the goods are there. Here it's on the seabed. But still, I just want to touch on the fundamental point, which is the renter doesn't owe the money yet. So why are we entitling the owner to keep the money just because it was prepaid? The Yeshlamer, and then Tosus makes a suggestion, Kevish and Asan lo scharo, nitzratze sheye shelo la'altar, alfa gav de'ena mishalem esel abasof. So Tosus suggests, Well, by virtue of the fact that you prepaid, so even though by right you don't have to pay until the end, but by prepaying you're basically saying, I'm going above and beyond what is normally accepted. Normally what's accepted and obligated, it's more than accepted. Normally you're obligated to pay only at the end. But by virtue of the fact that I prepay, it's an indication that I want you to have the money in advance. But Tosfos points out, but that's not really fundamentally so. Fundamentally, you only need to pay at the end. Okay. Let's quickly sum up, and we'll continue tomorrow. So again, we touched on the Mishnah, at least the ratio of the Mishnah that talks about any deviation of instruction is going to hold you liable. And the Gemara spent Ein Chesem and Beis describing that is Shitas Rav Meir. And we looked and we found a Braisa supporting this idea that when you're Mavir al Das Baalim, you're considered a Gazlan. We then went on to discuss what happens if the animal that you rent gets commandeered. Machlok is Rav and Shmuel. Under what terms can the owner say, look, I'm really sorry, but you're just going to have to deal with this inconvenience. It's your mazel. And then the Gemara made a distinction between renting an animal to use as loading versus renting an animal that is meant for riding. And if you're using an animal that's meant for riding, you need a steady animal. We went on to discuss the Mishnah. Sorry, we went on to discuss the Mishnah. The case of the animal dies halfway through the journey. You have to pay half rent. Why should that be? And then a discussion between Rav and Shmuel, where if you're the renter, can you dip into the principal of the owner in order to satisfy the rental agreement? Rav says that you cannot, and Shmuel says you can. You can dip into principal in order to collect. And then we turned our attention to the case of a boat, where the boat only makes it halfway, and under very limited circumstances, so then it's going to depend on whether or not you prepaid or you waited till the end.